Those seed potatoes that were discovered to have had the virus, but they haven't been planted. We're still free of that disease, well, believed to be free of that disease. Has any decision on what to do with those seed potatoes been made yet?
Yes, a decision has been made. Fortunately, the seed potatoes that we received from Tasmania, as you've said, Warwick, they've been kept in storage. So now those potatoes can be disposed of or sent on for processing. So there are directions have been in place on those businesses, on those stored seed potatoes, and now they can be managed
So,
appropriately,
you're
which
not
is nice.
managing that process, but the rules have been given to the farmers that had those seed potatoes on how they should dispose or get those potatoes processed.
That's right. That's right, Warwick. Those businesses have biosecurity directions notices on them that make it clear what their options are to manage the biosecurity risks associated with those stored seed potatoes.
Well, it's been great to talk to you today, Rosa Sunoff. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you, Warwick.
Victoria's Chief Plant Health Officer, Dr. Rosa Sunoff, speaking to you there. Gavin on the text line says, "Hi, Woz. Tomato, potato, salad sounds like a Wiggles song. Maybe the powers that be could get them on board for an educational song slash campaign. Gavin, don't give us ideas, but that sounds amazing. Tomato, potato, salad. Yeah, see, I can't make it work. The experts can, though. I hope they get onto that. It is 12:15, coming up to a 12:15 here on the Country Hour. Let's talk farm chemicals right now because the Australian Pesticides and Australian Pesticides and Veterinary Medicines Authority, the APVMA, has again delayed its decision on the future of paraquat and diquat, controversial farm chemicals. A final regulatory decision on those chemicals had been pushed to the end of this year, but it's now expected to be mid-2026. In announcing the delay, the APVMA says it needs time to take into account updated research which is coming out of the United States. Grain Producers Australia Southern Director Andrew Wiedemann spoke to my colleague in South Australia, Selena Green, about what this means for producers.
Yeah, look, that's right, Selena. And I suppose that it can be seen as quite frustrating as people want a bit of surety or to understand really what's going on. There was a number of submissions obviously put in after the original draft decision by the regulator in regards to the efficacious rates they put out. There's obviously been a number of submissions, and including obviously the Grain Producers Australia. We've been working quite closely obviously with the regulator and on this issue. And yeah, we've now had another further pushback, but I think for a very clear reason. It's just to make sure that the new information that's coming out of America from the EPA has a proper assessment in combination with the current review, because there's nothing worse than putting out an assessment and then having to turn around and potentially even do it again. So, yeah, so we've had a chat with the APVMA about it. You know, I'm pretty comfortable that, you know, the decision that will be made on the right grounds, hopefully. So we just need to just wait, I suppose, Selena, and get on with farming.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure how across you are around the EPA's research there in the US around this, but you do think it is likely to make a big shift in thinking around the use of these chemicals than what already has been looked at?
Well, what it does, it puts in a new calculation into the formula. That's what's been proposed here, and so that calculation will need to be rerun. So essentially, right across all of the different modelling that's already been done, Selena, and that's why it's going to take the extra time. So, and I think that unfortunately, yeah, it's a time factor, but it's a time factor that means that this work should be done because there'll be questions raised if it wasn't.
But what does it mean for growers, I guess, to know that they now have at least another several months before a decision is made? Does that level of uncertainty, does it buy a bit more time and a bit more capacity to look at some alternatives to those chemicals?
Look, definitely. Look, I mean, I think, you know, Australia's got to be seen as a ground for innovation still, Selena. And I do have concerns around the timeliness, for sure, in terms of some of the permits and new registrations that go through the APVMA. But I feel confident under the current leadership that in time, I think that will definitely improve as they build new capacity within the organisation. So, yeah, look, aside of chemistries, it's about having a team that can actually assess these in a timely manner and look at ways that we can potentially improve the timeliness of these new products going through the regulatory system, you know, whether AI can be used eventually and these sort of things as well to give an initial assessment. It's something that we've proposed as maybe an option. But in overall, it still comes down to the regulatory team assessing all of the peer-reviewed work that goes into formulating the decisions around new chemistries or existing chemistries being able to continue to use. And I think that one of the factors, and I don't mind raising it here, Selena, is that it is quite frustrating for us in a regulatory sense, is that we don't have an assessment around what happens if a product's taken out of the environment. What does that mean as an impact on the industry when that happens? So I think that that's something that we need to look at in terms of a legislation change. Currently, that's not able to be assessed by the regulator, but I think in time it should be.
That's Andrew Wiedemann, Southern Director of Grain Producers Australia, speaking with Selena Green from the South Australian country out there. In a statement, the APVMA says its final regulatory decision on paraquat and diquat has been deferred following the release by the US Environmental Protection Agency of an updated review of a recent study. According to the APVMA, the review released this month, and I quote, presents US EPA's conclusion that there is greater uncertainty regarding the potential for paraquat to volatilize than previously considered. The APVMA is reviewing its assessments of the volatility of paraquat and ensuring we have appropriately taken into account any concerns raised in the updated review from the US EPA. This additional time will allow consideration of the updated review and, if necessary, refinements to the APVMA's risk assessments, end quote. Very much a statement written by a science agency, but it's a science agency that has to look at the chemical compounds behind this and how it works, and that means that review is not being released now until mid-2026. That's the timeline that has changed there. On the text line, a couple of texts coming in. B says, I'm just looking at the bomb radar to see how far away the rain is and wondering why the clouds moving disappear at the South Australian border. Is the rainbow radar broken again, B? Now, I know we had problems with the rainbow radar earlier this week, B. I was asking the bomb about that. They said they had someone looking at it, but that's about as far as we got. So I'll ask that, take that on notice, and I'll ask that of the Bureau in about 15 minutes or so time. And Greg, on our birthday, Greg, this text means the world to me. Greg says, congratulations on reaching such a great milestone, our 80th birthday. I have memories of lunchtime listening to the Country Hour and Blue Hills from a very young age every day. As chair of the National Centre for Farmer Health, I will forever be thankful for your program's support last year when funding was cut and then reinstated. We then enjoyed having the Country Hour attend the opening of the new office in Hamilton. I intend getting there to join you on Wednesday, if possible, in Rapanyup. Greg, I hope you can. It'll be great to see you in Rapanyup. That text alone is wonderful to get. Thank you very much for sending that through. I remember those stories well, and remember that broadcast well from the National Centre for Farmer Health, where we had Angus Verley on an exercise bike, which I'm sure he remembers as well. It was a really fun day. So thank you for sending that through. More celebration of the Country Hour next week with all our reporters are going to be on the road Monday and Tuesday. So we'll be broadcasting from boats at Lakes Entrance to headers around Horsham to the high country to orchards and everything in between. So I hope you can join us Monday and Tuesday. Every rural reporter in the field, you'll be able to hear them on our program. And then Rapanyup at the Woods Heritage and Farming Museum in Rapanyup on Wednesday. If you can make it, it'd be great to see you. Let's keep talking, though, about things that are happening right now. The 2025 Murray-Darling Basin Outlook has been released, and the authority says it's designed to help basin governments and stakeholders prepare for a hotter and drier future as climate change continues. The Outlook uses existing science to predict a hotter, drier basin into the future and analyses those challenges ahead. The Basin Outlook considers a plausible range of climate futures to describe what the environmental, First Nations, social and economic values may look like by the year 2050, so 25 years from now. But it's not a pretty picture and will require a few changes. Michael Condon spoke to the Murray-Darling Basin Authority's CEO, Andrew McConville.
Oh, look, it is a significant piece of work, Michael, in terms of how we've taken a really deep look at climate change and the impact on basin communities. And it's really got to be read as a box set with the sustainable yield study as well. This is the first time that's been done since 2009.